Welcome to Tech Insights from InfoTech Research Group, the podcast where a group of expert analysts cut through all the noise and focus on what really matters for technology leaders. The golden ratio. It's a mathematical wonder that's been studied since the days of ancient Greece, when Pythagoras recognized the pattern was common in the study of geometry. The ratio is simply put. It's an irrational number, but it's about 1.6. And it's symbolized by the Greek letter phi. If you had a line that you wanted to cut into two sections to demonstrate the golden ratio, then you divide it so that the whole line is to the greater segment as the greater segment is to the lesser. The golden ratio is amazing because its pattern is found in the natural world so often. Everything from flower petals to seashells to the formation of hurricanes and even spiral galaxies exhibit its form. Some even call it the divine proportion. Today on Tech Insights, we're going to discuss a new appearance of the golden ratio, one that was discovered just last year. Joining me today to tell us about this is Professor Bert de Groot from the Economic Institute at Erasmus University, Rotterdam. It's a pleasure to have you here, and I was really interested to read your study published in the Technological Forecasting and Social Change Journal. It looks at the relationships between the length of economic cycles. Can you tell us why you wanted to study this?
Yes. I was researching the cycles in the economy because I found in the late 1990s, around the year 2000, that there was such a strong correlation between staffing services or temporary labor and the business. I was a member of the executive board of $5 billion listed company back then. So it was for us very interesting to find out whether such a correlation exists. I found that the individual economic variables, which were always viewed as one erratic movement, are in fact a summation of multiple cycles. A summation of cycles where every cycle has a specific meaning. It's a kind of economic DNA. And if you look at the gross domestic product of countries or all OECD countries from the USA to Korea, Japan and Europe, it shows the phenomena too, that it's every country with their own specificities. And it's interesting to find out that there are similarities, of course, of multiple cycles. They have around 5.5 years and 9.5 year cycle that are simultaneously present in every country, that there are also some extra cycles, and that makes it all different for companies. And by the way, this works for businesses and for companies too.
Okay, so you wanted to find out the relationship between these macroeconomic cycles, looking at different countries over multiple years, and at what point did you find that the cycles actually matched the golden ratio?
Well, that was quite a search, and it took me over 10 years. But in the end, it was quite simple. When I had all the multiple cycles of every country in place, I computed the fractal. That is, there are sequential shorter cycles and longer cycles, and I just divided the longer cycles by the shorter cycles, and then the answer was phi. So I found a golden section or a golden ratio. So that last step, that was simple. But yeah, it took 10 years before I could come up with that idea.
Wow. Were you surprised by this?
Well, I was surprised since I only knew the golden section from painters, Leonardo da Vinci. Who painted The Last Supper or The Vitruvius Man, or the people like Raffaello, who painted The School of Athens. We know Michelangelo, who painted in the Sistine Chapel and showed the creation of Adam. So that were things that were known to me. And also, we all know that in constructions or buildings, we can find the golden section very clearly. Think about the Parthenon in Greece, or the Taj Mahal in India, or the Notre Dame in Paris. the Alhambra Palace in Spain, but also the building of the United Nations. These show all kind of golden ratios. So, and there, like you said, there are many more examples found in biology and also in astronomy, from butterflies to the universe, but I never came across one publication with an application in the economy. So yes, I was surprised.
Yeah, me too, when I found your paper. And the reason that it surprised me, like the sort of mystery to me, is the fact that the economy is man-made. And now you just listed a lot of artists that were inspired by the golden ratio. So they intended to put the golden ratio into their works, right? But nobody is constructing the economy to mimic the golden ratio, I don't think. So why do you think we're seeing it here?
Well, taking one step back, if you think about the beauty of the golden section and its appearance in those many forms and shapes you just described, it is accepted since it is so clearly visible. And it always remains part of our collective amazement, and we all be remembered once the examples pop up again. So what would be our reaction if the golden section is also applicable to the economy? Would we also likely accept that underlying relationship, or would we reject it? I mean, we are people. We live in social systems. We create, we invest, we innovate, we produce, we trade. We make our own independent decisions in our businesses from our own point of view and from a business point of view, from a social point of view. And what would our collective factual behavior then display? Is that a golden ratio? How can that be? Well, I think, with all the evidence, it is no longer a philosophical question. What we are facing here is an optimal growth structure for now and for its future. It is robust. Like nature, grows, shrinks, and grows again following season. The growth is an optimal system. It is cyclical, dynamically moving forward. And so it remains. And because the cycles with their specific meaning have different cycle lengths, and they do not move in the same direction all the time, sometimes they go up, sometimes they go down, it leads to counterintuitive results, and it may be confusing to the observer. That's why people just simply put don't see it all the time. But you have to know where you are in the cycle as a server on the big wave to find out what your future will be. And let me make this more explicit. We're not talking about an exponential system, because that is a system that goes one way up until it breaks, and all the so-called exponential markets will mature and start growing more horizontal after a given time. And exponential growth is, as we all know, the first part of the S-shaped curve. But we have seen that in the digital economy over the past 20 years. It always looks like an exponential growth, but we are experiencing the first part of that curve. So we have to think about a growth system in total. As we are living together, we are making invention, we are developing new markets, we are digitalizing and ever. At the same time, we have to keep in mind that we are all part of that dynamically moving forward system that we live in.
Yeah, you know, I came across your paper when I was doing my research for the InfoTax Tech Trends 2022 report. So the theme to the report is enablers of the digital economy. Since COVID disrupted the global economy, we've just seen the digital economy accelerate so much. For example, worldwide digital advertising growth is now more than half of all ad revenue. There are more digital payments made per month in the US than non-digital payments. And even digital trading is now 45% of the global wholesale trade market. So we can see some of the ways that the digital economy is accelerating here. And you reference it, and us being sort of nascent in that economy and seeing it as this exponential growth factor. But given that your study looked at how the golden ratio could help us understand economic cycles, what might the golden ratio tell us about the digital economy?
Well, we witnessed an enormous upsurge of e-business. And if I look back in short history, after the crisis we had in 1992, so that was that's quite some time ago, but we have seen an enormous upsurge in internet and internet services, and everyone at that time was predicting unlimited growth. Until in the year 2000, the dot-com bubble burst everything. So that unlimited growth, that did not happen. It was the cycle we were in, and the cycle continued. And we have experienced over the past 20 years a couple of crises. The crisis of 2003, 2009, 2013, and now 2020-21, by the way, was economically already forecasted. So it was not only a COVID-made crisis, but the COVID, of course, augmented the crisis severely. And it is hurting others. But the innovation over the past 20 years continued, and now e-business is flourishing in USA, but also in China and Europe. It is a global phenomenon. And the fast-paced development in e-business is a battle for channels and for consumers, and it creates shifts in the marketplace. It is blurring the boundaries in value creation, physical and digital. And this democracy of technology makes that it is available for everyone. And as a consequence, we see a value migration across industries. That is, market relation and how businesses and people are earning the most in the supply chain are changing dramatically. Change itself in that sense is going much faster. And with all that innovation going on, we will experience an integration of a couple of new inventions on various markets and various scientific areas, like medic, additive, nano technology, biotechnology, robot technology, information and cognitive technologies, all will come together. There will be a transformation coming from digital to intelligence. All this aggregation and innovation will create better products and better solutions, and they come in faster than before. But there's something about the economy, and that's why I needed to explain a little bit about why all the innovations which we see coming forward, and we think it will change the economy all the time. No, it will change our life. It will change the way we are living. It will change the ease that we have in all the products that we use. But for the economy as a system, it's different. We cannot change the structure or omit parts of the economy, or we cannot change or omit parts in our social paradigm. Everything that is happening will adapt to one another. It will adapt itself into a next cycle. And that cycle, and that's for sure, is one phi distance away.
All right, so the digital economy isn't going to break free from this big structure that we've identified here. It's going to fit into it. That's interesting to me. And I was so inspired by this idea of the golden ratio and the economics and the digital economy that I wanted to use it as like a design theme for the trends report. And I was really inspired to do this after a conversation with a friend. Thank you, Brendan. And wanted to explore using a geometric theme in my report. So then I set up a meeting with our product designer at Infotech, Jess Lung, and she's joining us here now. Welcome, Jess.
Hi, Brian. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us here. I wonder, and be honest with me now, what was your reaction when we had our meeting about the trends report and I started talking about the golden ratio?
Well, honestly, I was very surprised at first because, well, as Bert mentioned at the beginning, from my understanding of the golden ratio, you know, that's something that I was familiar with in the arts and in nature, especially as artists are seeking to copy or duplicate what's beautiful in nature in our own work. So I was just really surprised to find the golden ratio in like our tech world, and also when you mentioned that it can be reflected in the economy, I just didn't understand how such a large phenomenon that's not controlled by one single person or artist could still reflect the golden ratio. So that was really interesting to me.
Okay, good. Glad to hear that. And, you know, you did mention to me during our meeting that you were used to working with the golden ratio already. It was a design concept that you followed before. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah, for sure. So I think, well, in school, we're definitely taught to use the golden ratio, but I think ultimately what it boils down to is that human beings have developed to read and understand the golden ratio easily. Like, we translate that visually in our minds very well. And so when we look at something that's proportioned like the golden ratio or organized in the rule of thirds, it's much easier for our brains to process that item, whatever visual thing it is. And so I think that's why some of those classical art pieces and paintings are so visually appealing, is because we can process them quickly. And a lot of times in design now, we use those rule of thirds and golden ratio principles to allow our viewers to quickly understand what we're trying to communicate as designers. And so it's a tool that really helps with our design.
All right. So I'm curious, after hearing Professor DeGroot today, if you have any more ideas, or if you thought about what this trends report might look like.
Yeah, I think, I guess going on from here, it really confirms, I guess, my belief that, you know, the golden ratio is definitely valuable in visual understanding. But what I find interesting is now, instead of, you know, designers just taking what's in nature and trying to inject it into our design, I wonder if, you know, it's just become so natural to us to think and view and understand things in this way that now the golden ratio is coming out of human actions just in a way that we don't fully understand or aren't fully in control of. And so that's something that's really interesting to me. And obviously, I don't have very good understanding of this yet, but I think it's definitely something that I would want to look more into, and definitely confirms that we should continue using the golden ratio in our design and just in the way that we communicate.
All right. So it feels like some validation there. And Bert, any tips for Jess or for me as we're designing and building this trends report?
Well, the last thing that Jess said was a very good observation and also a very good question. Why would the golden ratio, sometimes not so readily observable by people that just don't know the existence of the ratio, why it always happens that when people are looking at a painting or a building, they say, hey, what a kind of a pleasant design are we facing here? And why is that? When people don't understand the phi or the meaning of phi, but they feel it like it is almost an optimal, pleasant structure. So apparently, my thoughts about it is that the golden ratio is so inherent in everything that we're doing, so ingrained in our own DNA, so to speak, that we almost don't recognize it. But what we do is we recognize it. It's always pleasant. It's always beautiful. When you hear it in sound, it is always pleasant. And that is a big, big value for all of us. But in terms of design, I think that Jess is much, much better equipped than I doing a design. But when I can make one little suggestion, why don't you, especially because we live in this e-world, if you go back to the original book of the golden ratio, which is in Italian, it's called the Divina Proporzione. That was written in the year 1509. And it was a book written by the teacher of Leonardo da Vinci. And he was teaching Leonardo da Vinci all the secrets of geometry. So it's an art book, but it's an art book combined with high mathematical drawing. So already then, by then, they understood how the combination worked. And as an example, the M logo of the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York is adapted from that book. So I think your inspiration will get another boost by looking into it.
Well, I hope the library has that book from 1509. Might not be available for a takeout. Well, you've got it right there. Bert's holding it to the camera right now, so maybe we can borrow it from you. You'll have to ship it from Europe, though, so might not be the ideal solution. In any regards, I just want to thank you so much for joining us today, Bert.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
And for our listeners of Tech Insights, remember to subscribe to the podcast. You'll miss episodes like this one. If you're not subscribed, you need to hit that button so the podcast gets pushed to you on your favorite app, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, really whatever podcast app you're using right now will be fine. Thanks so much. I'm Brian Jackson.